We're reconvening the regular session at 7:10. Roll call. Here.
Yep. Here.
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 Mr.
Chase?
Here.
Here. I apologize for coming back late with all of the excitement we had this evening with the swearing in of the new board members. It took a little longer than anticipated, so I appreciate all of your patience. The report, I have two items to report out from closed session. It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Mike Spence and approved to expel the following pupils from the school district. Student number 196540. The vote was unanimous. The pupil is expelled and will not be eligible to apply for readmission until the date set in his rehabilitation plans. It was moved by Steve Cox and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker that the following students have completed their terms of expulsion and have been approved by the Board of Education for readmittance to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 179016 and student number 194437. We're moving on to the presentation portion of our of the meeting. And that was all there was to report out from closed session. The presentation, Merlinda Elementary School. Oh, she's already up. Ready to go.
Good evening. Good evening, Superintendent Castillo, members of the board, newest members of the board, Merlinda family and friends and guests. My name is Teresa Marquez. I'm the principal at Merlinda School. And it's my pleasure to be here this evening to share some of the exciting things happening at Merlinda. At Merlinda, it's a team effort, and our teachers work collaboratively with each other and our families to continue to increase student achievement. As a school, we have looked carefully at our data in order to determine how to best meet the needs of the children who walk through our doors. I would like to start out by saying that at Merlinda, we believe all children, regardless of differences in race, socioeconomic status, language background, or special needs, have the capacity to learn and succeed at equally high levels. We also believe it's the responsibility of the adults in the system to ensure that all children succeed academically. We are dedicated to continually seek out the best practices to meet the needs of all our students. Children are the main focus at Merlinda, and we strive for our students to develop academically and personally in order to be successful. Our efforts are focused on meeting and being proactive to the unique needs of the 642 students that we serve. Our program is based on rigorous academic standards, current trends, research and education, best practices, and, of course, our instructional data. We're striving to develop lifelong learning, empower our students with the skills necessary to succeed academically and be contributing members of society. Our focus is on the core curriculum and the California content standards, but we do place an emphasis on improving our own instructional practices to enhance student learning. We also strive for our students to become effective communicators and develop respect for others. Once again, we know that it's the responsibility of us, the adults, to make that happen. In our first slide, as you can see, we did experience growth in 2008. We did see a decrease in 2009 of 4 points. After careful analysis of our results, we recognized that the students who dropped even one performance band were the students that significantly impacted our API. We experienced a significant drop in our fifth grade. Over 50% of our fifth grade students dropped a band. For the most part, other grade levels maintained the previous year's performance. We also recognize there's still an achievement gap with our English learners that needs to be addressed. Our students with disabilities are not a large enough population to be considered a significant subgroup. However, we did include them in this slide because we are continually tracking their progress. We did notice growth with our students with disabilities. However, there's still a difference in their performance to the rest of our school. We did notice an achievement gap in other subgroups, and this is an area of concern and will be part of our development plan. The 2008 federal requirements are that 56.8% of all students be proficient in language arts by 2010. We are approximately 1.5 points away from achieving that requirement for our school, which we feel is well within our reach for the 2010 school year. We do realize that we must continue to work closely to ensure continued growth for our subgroups, specifically our English learners. Our plan will detail how we work to reach our federal goal. In math, the federal requirement is that 58% of students be proficient by 2010. We're currently 7 points ahead of that target for our school-wide population. We once again realize that our English learners are a significant subgroup that needs to move closer to the school-wide population of 65.7 or beyond. And once again, we'll detail that in our plan. Based on the data, we've established a set of school-wide learning goals, and our primary goal is to ensure that all students demonstrate growth and achieve proficiency in all content areas. During the 2009-2010 school year, all teachers will work collaboratively and use their professional development time effectively. Teachers will continue to increase the use of formative data to assess student learning. Grade levels will focus on the data to meet students' academic needs. Teachers will implement standards-based lessons and administer standards-based assessments in all content areas. As a school leader, I'll frequently visit and monitor classrooms and monitor instruction through the use of both summative and formative data. Teachers will fully implement the new math program through the use of a math program and monitor students' progress. And finally, we will implement research-based strategies to increase achievement specifically for our English learners. Based on our data and school-wide goals for the students, we have implemented a professional development plan that has been established and clearly articulated with staff members. Every Wednesday, we are provided with an opportunity to learn and grow as educators. In order to make the most of this time, there has been an effort to improve how we work together. Through the development of professional learning communities, Merlinda School has increased the effectiveness of time spent together as professionals. Through professional communities, teachers ask themselves the following questions. What do we want kids to learn? How will we know they've learned it? What do we do once they've learned it? And what do we do if they come already knowing the information? Another component is to frequently use the data to continue to inform our practices. We don't just look at our STAR data in the beginning of the year. We're continually using it throughout the year to inform what we do. We're looking at common assessments or develop common and agreed understanding of what student success is. And through all of this, we continue to maintain focus on the standards, and teachers are working on becoming experts at unpacking the standards, dissecting the standards in order to increase the student understanding and achievement for all. And as we know, when teachers get together and ask questions informed by the data from their own students they currently have, their knowledge grows and practice changes. During our professional development time, teachers will also look at effective instructional practices to make certain all students are part of this learning. We're also addressing our new math curriculum and looking at ways to strengthen our math program. We're also seeking out the most effective strategies to continue to meet the needs of our learners. The following is a plan, a timeline of our professional development that has been established for this school year. And in order to make a difference this year, much of this will take place by February of 2010. The remainder of the year will be spent reviewing how the strategies are making a difference for kids, continuing to look at our data and benchmarks to monitor instruction and make necessary adjustments. At one of our first meetings, we looked at specifically how professional learning communities work. The objective of every staff development and every meeting is for teachers to develop specific instructional plans designed to improve and increase achievement for students. These plans provided, teachers were provided with what should take place at a grade level meeting. And each month, teachers develop monthly timelines for teaching the standards. They also work on strategies, common assessments. They continually meet to review the results from previous months and determine if what they're doing is making a difference. They continue to ask themselves very important questions, such as, did they get the outcome they expected? They arrive at consensus on what advanced, proficient, developing, and beginning looks like at each grade level, and they make recommendations to identify students into one of our 16 after-school programs we're currently running. For English learners, we've developed a list of academic language. Students need to be successful, and teachers are using this language to make meaning for English learners. Another professional development day was spent with our school psychologist, who provided a training on strategies for students with disabilities and students at risk. In January, we're continuing with data work to identify effective strategies to engage all learners. We have continually worked on reviewing our blueprints that are aligned with the district standards. We're also reviewing test release questions to prepare for the STAR. Based on our results, again, we identified math as an area. We've adjusted schedules to increase math instruction time. We will also receive additional training in January on the new math program to improve our implementation of this program. We had an emphasis on teaching the basic facts to our primary students. Through our math masters, we've increased math fluency in second and third grade. We've also purchased math facts in a flash to offer additional support for struggling students. This year is our third year implementing English Language Arts Standards Plus, and this year we added Standards Plus to grades 1 through 6. Standards, we received professional development on the implementation of Standards Plus Math and how to collect data and monitor the progress of this program. Based on our data, we've once again identified as our English learners as a group that we need to concentrate and focus on. We've identified vocabulary and language development as an area English learners continue to struggle with. In our professional development, we look at each stage of English language development, identify strategies for each group. We're also learning a variety of motivational tasks to promote speaking, listening, reading, and writing to support our English learners. We're currently implementing English Now, English in a Flash, Rosetta Stone, specifically for our English learners. Our resource teacher psychologists continue to support us with staff development on various modifications, and they will provide this during the months of January. In the area of technology, we've received training in Accelerated Reader, STAR Early Literacy, English in a Flash, and Waterford to increase student achievement. Also, every classroom now has a projector, which is being used to implement the technology that we have taking place at Merlinda. We're continuing to improve our Success for All program. With the latest research-based curriculum and strategies, our SFA consultant and our ISS provide training on schedules, pacing, and engaging all students. Materials will be provided in addition with training to prepare our students for the CELT test. We'll emphasize vocabulary and specific strategies to increase our students' results and enable them to successfully redesignate. Last year, we redesignated 29 students. We hope to redesignate more this upcoming year. And finally, as you can see, we have a few, this is not everyone, but we have a few of the dedicated professionals that are making a difference for Merlinda kids. We're working very hard this year to refine what we do and make adjustments when necessary. Although the previous year we achieved 800, we knew that wasn't enough, and losing 4 points this year made us take a step back and shine a bright light on those areas that needed improvement. One of my favorite sayings by John Wooden, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. We're preparing this year to make certain all groups, regardless of their background, are successful and show that success on the STAR and their benchmarks. We thank you for your continued support and all that you do to help us make Merlinda a great school. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there questions? Mr. Spence?
How are we evaluating the Rosetta Stone for English language learners? How are we going through that process to see if that's something that works? Because other schools are using it now. And how are we going through the evaluation process?
I believe within the Rosetta Stone, much like the other computer programs,
right, yeah,
you have the ability to go in and monitor how students are doing. As an administrator, I can pull into the results of various programs and see how long kids are in the program, what progress they're making, if they're making advancements in the various programs. So with the technology-based programs, most of them have an administrator capacity for the administrator to go in and evaluate, as well as the teachers.
And how are you comparing that to what we used to do as far as the results? Because I understand you can monitor the Rosetta Stone mm-hmm. maybe more thoroughly than what we're doing, but you know, is that something that we've seen is actually working to better than what we were doing?
We currently have 5 licenses for Rosetta Stone, and we're using it for most of our upper grade students. We're hoping to purchase more. We're using more English in a Flash, which is part of the Accelerated Reader program, which we have been monitoring. And that program, what we're noticing is kids are moving through various levels, attaining vocabulary, and it shows us their progress in a very unique way because we're able to see which words they're mastering. The one area that Rosetta Stone has over the English in a Flash is that it actually practices more speaking, which is more powerful, I think, for the students. So we're looking more and purchasing more of the Rosetta Stone over the English in a Flash, but both programs have that ability to go in and see how many more words kids are learning, if they're actually making progress.
So there's only 5 English language students that are
We have 5, and we're currently looking to purchase more with some additional funding.
Is it in the 4-5?
6th grade.
6th grade only?
Mm-hmm. We wanted to try on a trial basis. Uh-huh. English in a Flash, we have over 50 students in that program, which is it's a pretty strong program, and kids are making progress. They're going daily. We have all of grade level 2nd through 6th grade, our various English learners in that program.
So it would be easier to evaluate that because you have a larger sample size.
We do. We have a lot more. And we're looking at purchasing more of that Rosetta Stone because we do see the value in it because of the speaking component.
Uh-huh.
You had spoke to the fifth grade last year and the test scores, but I didn't hear anything about what was looked at to see what may have happened with those fifth graders. And as a cohort, were they always significantly lower than their other peers, or is it always at fifth grade that there's a drop?
We usually see a drop in third and fifth grade. This particular fifth grade experienced this drop this year, the prior year that actually experienced quite a bit of growth. We're already seeing with this group as they're moving forward growth within their benchmarks, and they're making progress based on their SRI scores, district benchmarks, and other things that we're looking at. But no, they were not a group that had experienced drops throughout the year. In fact, the prior year they had done significantly well. They had a difficult time with the math this year, and so that's why that's an area that we're really working on with them, specifically in sixth grade.
And the fifth graders that are there now, mm-hmm. have you looked at what may have not been taught? And so the fifth graders in there this year are actually have access to curriculum or to something they may not have. The students that are in sixth grade now may not have been exposed to?
They do, and we started seeing some of this the prior year, and we made some adjustments, but what we did this year with our fifth grade students was they looped with their teacher. The fourth grade teacher that was their fourth grade teacher last year followed them, and I feel we're already seeing the results of that. Their benchmark scores were coming in significantly higher than they had in the past, and we're seeing much more growth with that group this year, having their teachers with them, the same teacher. So the teachers had looped with the same group of kids.
And I'm sorry, can you they don't have the same teacher, they just have exposure to that teacher?
No, they actually have the same teacher. The teacher who had them in fourth grade had quite a bit of success with that fourth grade group, and they followed the students, they looped with them. It's a practice that there's a lot of research behind it that shows that it does help students in anticipating somewhat of a drop with that group in the fifth grade. We anticipated that, and we moved fourth grade teachers up to teach the fifth grade.
And so they had to learn a whole new curriculum.
They are learning a whole new curriculum. They're a very strong team, and they were a very strong team in fourth grade, had demonstrated success, and they're demonstrating success this year as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Plan for Coronado, our alternative high school.
Looking at vacation slides right now.
I hope you're enjoying them.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and start while we get the technology up and running. Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Castillo, and Cabinet, it's my honor and pleasure to be here to represent Coronado High School. We're in a unique position in that we get students who come to us credit deficient. We serve students that are 16 and over who have not had success at the regular high school. So when they come to us, we have a different set of challenges, but I think we meet those challenges. I'd like to give you an overview of our student achievement plan and our professional development plan for 2009-2010. Before I do that, though, I'd like to thank you all for the support that you provide our school, and I'd also like to acknowledge our staff that is here tonight. They're sitting in the back to support us. And, of course, Mr. Glickman, our district teacher of the year, who will be manning the computer and did the tech for the PowerPoint presentation. You'll see on the slide our new mural, our Coronado Cougars mural. That was done by our night custodian. He came back one weekend and did that for us, so that was really nice. It really helps to give the kids a sense of school that is theirs, and it's a real sense of pride for us. Before you look at, we look at the data, I'd like you to turn to the last page in your booklet, if you would. This gives you an idea of the makeup of our student body, since we are kind of unique. The first chart at the very top gives you the active number of students by grade, and you can see we only have 2 10th graders on our campus, and then the rest are 11th and 12th. Like I said, we serve a 16-year-old and above, and we really try to work with the 11th and 12th graders because we're doing recovery, and we are doing we're reteaching what they didn't get in the 9th and 10th grade, so we want to really concentrate on the 11th and 12th graders. We also have 50 independent study students on our campus, and then we have our CalSafe program on our campus too that we serve the pregnant minor program. So that's just kind of a basic overview of our students that we have. Go ahead, number two. Let's look at the data that we used to determine the critical academic needs and professional development for 2009 and 2010. We did have quite a drop in our API, but this gave us an urgency to look at the causes of the drop and what next steps we should take. What we did find was that because of the way the test data works, we had 172 students take the test, but only 70 counted toward our score. So that gave us kind of a small sampling, really, of how they're doing. What we found out that if we had 7 to 10 students drop in a proficiency level, it had a huge effect on our score. So that's why you saw the drop in our score. It's not an excuse. It's just kind of the way that the test works. So I wanted to make sure that you understood that. We are having our WASC visit, which will be February 28th. It starts. It'll be a 3-day visit by the state. And we've had a year and a half to work on our action plan and our needs assessment. And what they're going to do is come in to verify that we've done what they asked us to do at our last visit. And I think we're in good shape with that. We've looked at our KC pass rates. At this time, 70% of our seniors have passed math and language arts in the KC. We also do a monthly credit review with our counselor, Mrs. Ohanian. She pulls the students in and reviews their credits because we have a constantly changing student body. You'll even see in our numbers, sometimes they don't match up because week to week we could have 10 fewer students, 10 more students. So it's really a unique kind of situation that we deal with. We also look at STAR testing. We test every single student when they enroll, and that gives us a level of math and language arts. It tells us their strengths and their weaknesses. And then the ASAM, which is the Alternative School Accountability Model, and what they look at when they compare us to other continuation schools is our suspension rate, our graduation rate, and our attendance rate. So we look at all of those things when we're looking at our data. After analyzing our data, we determined that we had critical academic needs, and what we did, we looked at them, and this is what we are including this year. First of all, the standards. We're making sure that all lessons are standard-based. We're emphasizing basic language arts, math, and test-taking strategies. We have a regular review of our standards assessments that we are using now. We have implemented Standards Plus, because we really needed to step back and work on basic math skills, basic language arts skills, and test-taking strategies. And we also have support for our special population, special ed, and our EL students through manipulation of our master schedule. Our professional development. In August, when we received our test results, we weren't happy. It really gave us a sense of urgency to we needed to do something. So we spent all of August looking and analyzing the state data, and we looked at the strengths and weaknesses of our students, and we found out that 80% of our students had scored basic or below in language arts and math. That's quite a big number. And so, again, that turned out that when 7 to 10 students drop in a proficiency level, it really affects your score. In September, what we did, we implemented Standards Plus, and because we needed to work on the basic math and language arts and test-taking skills. And every day, for 15 minutes, every student has a 15-minute either language arts, math, and test-taking skills in their second period. In November, we reviewed all the student data that we had been receiving through the Standards Plus, In October, we looked at WASC because we are getting closer and closer, so we wanted to make sure that our action plan was being implemented. In November, we looked at student data, based again on Standards Plus. We have regular assessments that we looked at. And then tomorrow, actually, our professional development will have a presentation on differentiating instruction and our peer-to-peer review that we've implemented this year. So we have teachers visiting other teachers, and they're going to share out successes and other ways to help teachers in their classroom. Some evidence of our work. Students on target to graduate. In 2007-2008, there were 32 graduates from Coronado. Last year, we had 70. This year, we're on target, and I'll show you in the next slide, but we are on target to have over 80 graduates this year. Students qualifying to return to the high school. At this point, a student has to have 190 credits at the semester in order to return to the comprehensive high school. Also, our students passing CAESE, as I said before, 70% of the seniors have already passed the CAESE, and they have many more opportunities before the end of the year to be able to do this. Our WASC visit will be February 28th. It's a three-day visit. They come and they will validate our self-study. We have implemented Standards Plus. That's an everyday occurrence with our students. And our ASAM, we had an increase in our graduation, as I said before. We had an increase in attendance rate and a decrease in suspension rates. So we were very successful in our ASAM. We also have implemented, by manipulating our master schedule, support for our special populations. We have about 6 or 7 special ed students, and we have now have a full-time special ed teacher. And we have, she not only goes class to class in collaboration, but she also has a period of study skills for them, which helps them to begin their homework and helps them with credit recovery. And we are also going to be implementing an ELD class this time for the first time at the continuation school because we found a need for that. We have about 28 ELD students, and we found out they were not getting the support that they needed, so we are going to begin that also. And our attendance rates have increased tremendously, and I'll show you a slide that will show that. This is the senior status that I was talking about. Group A, there are 83 students at this point that have 140 credits or more. In Group B, 40 students that have between 100 and 139, and then we have a group that struggles still, but they came to us deficient in credits, so there were 31 students right now that have between 0 and 99 credits. I think our lowest student senior right now has 27 credits, so we have a lot of work to do there. And you can see the CAESE pass rate of the seniors are 70% that have passed the math and 70% that have passed the language arts. And you see in our junior class, we're at about 50% on the juniors that have passed CAESE. So, again, we have our work cut out for us. This is our attendance rate for the last 3 years. You can see in the black, the 2007-2008, it never really, a couple of times, got over 90%. Last year, we increased it, and this year, for the first 3 months, we are very close to the district goal of 98%. So, we are very proud of the fact that we do home visits, we have phone calls, our teachers are working with us, they let us know all the time if a student has been missing. Mr. Glickman and Mrs. Rodriguez go out at 6:30 in the morning and go knock on doors looking for students that haven't attended. We have parents come in. Every time they come in for a conference on attendance, we go over their credits. We are doing everything possible to recover those credits and move up to graduation. What I like to say at Coronado, you know, typically what we do with students is we find what their disabilities are. At Coronado, we find out what their abilities are, and then we work toward that and work with them to help them to graduate and recover their credits. That's kind of Coronado. That's the story of Coronado. Any questions?
I had a question about transiency, and that is, you know, many times when we look at schools, I always ask the question, you know, how long has that person been in our school district, you know, to try to get an idea, and of course there's difficulty when there's people moving in and out. What is the average stay for, I guess, somebody at Coronado? Like, how long do you have many of these students, you know, because the goal is to get them up to credits, and at a certain point, hopefully, they would go back into, you know, the high school or you know, obviously independent study is probably a little more stable because that was, for the most part, choices that the parents made. You know, so I'm trying to get an idea, especially with that population, is, you know, how long do you have, you know, how many kids do you get the day before the test? You know, how many kids do you get 2 months before the test? How many have been there a year and a half, I guess? You know, I guess I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, if you look at the spread of credits, every student has a separate story. That's the right, good thing yeah. about Coronado. So sometimes a kid will be with us for a month and then move and disappear. We look for them. They've transferred. They've gone to another parent. They've moved out of the city. Sometimes they recover enough credits to go back to the high school, which is something we really work hard to do. In order for a student to count toward our test, they have to be with us at least 90 days. So that tells you last year there were only 70 students out of our whole population at test time that were with us for longer than 90 days. So it's changing.
Over half your kids, but that included pregnant minor, right?
Yeah, that included all this.
And that's obviously probably more stable.
Population. And that's a more stable group also.
And so, yeah, so about a third, so two-thirds of your kids in that population that's unit deficient, credit deficient, is
moving.
Coming in and out.
Moving, okay. Yeah.
Because that makes it hard to look at your scores and say, you know, when we look at other schools and say, oh, your API is dropping or your AYP, you know, what's going on in math at third grade because there seems to be problems and things like that.
Right.
It makes it very difficult at Coronado because, you know, everybody's in and out.
That's
your fault.
We have 11th graders that took the test and then they move. We may get half of those kids coming into our 12th grade or less because a lot of them go back, a lot of them leave, they don't come back. Even some of my numbers, when I was putting this together, someone was saying to me, your numbers aren't adding up. I said, well, because last week that was the number. So, you know, I wanted to say that because I don't want you to think I wasn't doing the math right. But, you know.
Because I think that is the struggle, that you face with everyone.
That is. But all that being said, it's a great school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great school. And it's, the teachers work hard, the kids come every day, and we're seeing some real progress.
But when we look at when we try to compare grades from, you know, it's hard to say, oh, look at fourth grade to fifth grade at, you know, Merlinda is much easier than say, let's look at, you know.
To your point, Mr. Spence, the state has been thinking about merging all of their scores with the high school scores so that they're not differentiated. Mm. And I don't know if there's a timeline for that, but they are, because of your issue, they're constantly looking at how to go about doing this because, in a way, the ones that he has sent back and have succeeded are his success story.
Right.
But those that were there for 90 days and haven't gone back and are tested is what you see. But I'm very proud of the work that Mr. Marentes and his staff have done there, as well as Mrs. Marquez. She's very, they're both very strong instructional leaders, but on top of that, they have staffs that really work well with them, and I think it has made a difference for kids.
Thank you.
No, and I think the number, you know, we used to get a lot of complaints about, you know, kids from that campus and things
right.
like that. I think that has dropped dramatically.
Absolutely.
You know, in my experience, the number of complaints I've gotten from, I mean, that has dropped dramatically over the last little while. It's obviously one of those signs of success as well.
The expectation for the kids is there to behave just like everybody else.
Right, yeah.
Mr. Cox.
In language arts, I mean, you have a lot of students that are very low in, say, for instance, reading levels. I'm talking first, second, third grade levels even.
We do. But as like I said, when a student comes in, we test them right away to find out their level, and we find out that their reading levels are very low. And that's probably a reason why they're credit deficient, because they've not had the success all the way through, and they get to us at 16-year-old, 11th grade, and their reading levels aren't very high, so we have to differentiate everything we do in every classroom in order to meet their needs.
What I'm asking is once they've come into your program, what's their general resistance or acceptance? I hope it's acceptance to understanding that that is their reading level, and then they take an opportunity to take advantage of the opportunity that they have.
Well, the classes are smaller. They get more individualized help. Like I said, the differentiation is huge on our campus because we can't just throw one assignment out there for everybody to do, because in the same classroom you may have a student who's at the third grade reading level and a student who's reading at the college level. So when my teachers pass out the assignments, it could be three-tiered. They could say, you can pick this, or you can pick this, or you can pick this. You tell me how you're going to show me that you know the standard. So
several years ago, I had an opportunity to go into a classroom and observe what they were doing, and it was really quite amazing to me. You know, I think that there would be a certain level of a 16-year-old, 16, 17-year-old, with a certain level of embarrassment as such for not being able to, you know, achieve the way the peers were, and I was absolutely wrong. They were unbelievably thrilled to be reading, excuse the term, and I don't mean it derogatory in any way, but a C. Jane Run, C. Dick Run type level, and I was stunned. And in leaving, the principal told me, they're thrilled to death with the opportunity.
Yeah, it for some of our students, that's the first success they've had.
Exactly.
And to be acknowledged for that success is amazing for a lot of them. Some kids that have never attended school regularly are coming regularly because they have success.
Right.
So it feeds on itself.
It's an incredible program.
Yeah.
It's wonderful how you differentiate. And the teachers probably have several lessons pre-prepared to pass out. Now, when these students transition into high school, I would love for that to be into the comprehensive high school. I would love that for that to be the case. I don't believe it's so. How are they transitioning once they recover their credits without that type of differentiation?
It's kind of on an individual basis. We have some students that go back and do great. Because they just were not motivated a lot of times. The intelligence, the levels, everything else is there. They just needed the motivation, kind of a kick, mm-hmm. and they get that when they come to us, and the realization is that they want to go back. Sometimes they transfer to the high school, and then they come back to us because they just don't have the small class size. They don't get the individualized attention just because of the sheer size of the high school. So they do come back to us sometimes.
Do they come back to you by choice or because they've become credit deficient?
It's usually by choice because they go there and they just say, you know what, this is Coronado's kind of a home, and we felt comfortable here and we feel good here and we're having success here. And so they come back to us typically because they want to.
This is outside of the scope of what you presented, but I just want to thank you and your staff for all the work they did with the Parents Place for the Transition Conference. And you talked about having the 7 special education students. We really, giving parents and the young adult the information they need to transition out of that program into adulthood is really needed. And I just appreciate all of the support all of you gave to make that event such a success. And there was also a certificate that was given to you that I will make sure that gets presented to your school. When I went to pick it up yesterday, it was locked away in a cabinet, and I didn't have the key for it.
Okay.
But you will get that, and I just want to say once again, thank you so much. And when we had people throughout, not just our district, but throughout the San Gabriel Valley come, and they've all had great things to say about your campus, what it looked like, and about the staff that was there, how welcoming they were, and it represented us so well. And they couldn't believe that that was an alternative high school.
Most people are surprised
right.
when they come on
so
our campus.
Yeah. That just goes to show mm-hmm. how well you've done and gone beyond what's expected. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the hearing session that I wanted to report out for that prior to our last meeting, just a few days before that, our nurse Barbara Bolton passed away. We were not made aware of that until after the meeting, and I wanted to make sure that we recognized her and we recognized the importance of the school nurse, especially for those individuals who have chronic health impairments. The nurses make the school accessible to those students. And Barbara Bolton went beyond the call of duty in meeting the needs of our exceptional students as well as our general ed students. So I appreciate her so much, and I wanted to make everybody aware that she had passed away and that we as a board and as a district appreciated having her as part of our family. Is there anything people would like to report out? our student representative report.
All right. Well, it is winter season at West Covina High School now, and our winter sports have finally begun. And also, our fine arts, our West Covairs, have started their community tour, singing at around the community and around the elementary schools. And marching band has just ended their season at the Covina Christmas Parade. So they are just about wrapped up with marching season. And also, we are having winter formal elections. Our site is chosen. It's at the ESPN Zone at Downtown Disney on January 16th. That is when our winter formal will be. And next week, we're hosting a Winter Wonderland Spirit Week just to get our students into the holiday spirit. And also, finals will be next week, so it'll be pretty encouraging for our students. And our last day before winter break will be Friday, December 18th, and that will be a minimum day. So we're pretty excited to end this week.
That's great.
There's been a request for a brief recess. We will re-adjourn in 5 minutes.